Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, powered by the SID Media. Good afternoon to you, Pastor Chiwanda.
Good afternoon, and how are you, sir?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Fantastic, fantabulous. Now we are continuing to talk about waiting versus worrying. And perhaps the hardest part of waiting is the silence. You know, when we have prayed, when we have fasted, waited, and acted, yet see no movement whatsoever. It is easy to wonder if God has forgotten us or not. Now, today, we want to look at how to trust God in the dark and find peace when he is silent. We'll look at the Job, rather, and the Psalms to learn how to keep our hope alive. The pastor is joining us. His name is Pastor Chiwanda. Pastor, why does God sometimes seem silent when we are waiting for a response?
There are a number of reasons.
Mm.
First, silence acts as a test of our faith. It stretches our trust in God. Think about Job. He held on to faith without immediate answers, but in the midst of suffering. So silence, the silence of God, teaches us to believe in him, even when we cannot see.
To believe
Believe in him even when we cannot see anything.
Okay.
That is evidential. That is evidential of his moves.
Mm.
And silence also prepares us for what he has in store for us. Sometimes God is working behind the scenes, arranging circumstances we cannot perceive. Like Joseph, he was in prison. He couldn't hear God's voice in prison every day.
Mm.
He was just in prison. He was working in prison, serving in prison. But God was preparing his promotion to the top throne of the country. So you can see that God's silence actually is very important sometimes because he's doing things behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yes, and also silence is like time for refinement on our part.
Mm.
Because waiting without clear answers exposes our weaknesses. You know, our weaknesses there are impatience, fear, self-reliance, and sometimes sin itself. And God gives us a chance to grow stronger in our weak areas. And also, it's an invitation to deeper worship when we can't see God. His invisibility invites us to draw closer to him in prayer, to look for him in scripture. So his silence is not absence from us. It is actually an invitation to intimacy with us.
Is it a silent invitation?
We can call it such. We can call it such.
Mm.
Because you see, God's voicelessness is his speech to the heart of faith. His silence is his nature in action behind the scenes. His silence hides his mighty capabilities in our defense and for our good.
Yeah.
His silence is his voice for his children to watch out for his actions in blessing us. So, we actually need to understand here that he says in the Bible, Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Even when you can't hear me, if you can't see me, be still and know that I am God. I'm doing something.
Yeah. Now, you know, Pastor, as we said in the intro, that sometimes having prayed and having done everything, we don't even see a cloud in the sky that shows that there's going to be rain. You know, sometimes when you just see that one small cloud, you have hope that, maybe. But if it's just clear and just the sun is scorching, and you can see that, there's no movement. How can we continue to trust when we actually cannot see any movement?
I am reminded of Psalm 13, verse 1,
mm.
where David says, How long, O Lord?
Mm.
Then later he says, I will trust in your unfailing love.
Mm.
So God's character is silent but constant.
Okay.
Even when circumstances shift, change, his love, his mercy, and his faithfulness remains unchanged.
Mm.
Silence does not mean absence.
Yeah.
God's word reveals his heart.
Mm.
It reveals his character. We may not see immediate action, but scripture tells us that his promises are sure.
Yeah.
His character is revealed in his word, though not with visible signs. You see, trusting God's character in silence builds present trust, because we know what he has done in the past to others or to ourselves, and then we build from there to say, if he carried us up to this far, he will do it again.
Mm.
He will do it again.
Mm. Mm.
If he did this to the heroes of the Bible, he will also do it again today. He's the same God. He doesn't change. So we can bank on his character, on who he is and what he does when he is what he is.
Mm. Mm.
So God's silence can be quite protective. Sometimes he withholds immediate answers because the timing is not yet safe, or the blessing would overwhelm us. So his silence is immense actually to us. And God's presence is greater than his gifts. You see, trusting his character means valuing who he is more than what he gives us.
Mm.
You know, he is Emmanuel.
Yeah.
And when he is Emmanuel, it means he is with us. So while he is so silent, he is also with us. He's also with us.
Yeah.
In other words, his invisibility, his silence is also evidence of his availability when we believe in him.
Yeah. Fantastic stuff, man. Fantastic, fantastic stuff. Now, how do we fight the temptation to think God is against us when doors just keep shutting in our faces?
Thinking that God is against us.
Mm.
I think it's true that when opportunities are shut, it's easy to feel abandoned.
Mm.
But scripture shows us that closed doors are often God's protection, redirection, or preparation, not punishment. Let's think about protection. God may close a door to shield us from harm, the harm that we don't see, the harm that we don't see. He sees it, we don't see it, so he closes that door, because if this guy comes to this door and face what I see, it will not be good for him. Let me close this door.
Yeah.
And at times, God will be thinking of redirecting you to some other opportunities. A closed door can guide us toward a better path, like it happened to Paul. He wanted to go to Asia, but God said, you should go to Macedonia, which is in Europe, in Acts 16. And Paul had to go there. So preparation also. Sometimes the door is closed until we are ready to handle what's behind it. Because we don't know what's behind that door which has been closed. So you find that God cannot be against us when he is also for us. You remember in Romans 8, verse 31, he says, who can be against us when God is for us? When God is for us. And in Jeremiah 29, you remember verse 11, God's plans are for hope and future, not for harm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we are told that in Acts 16, we discover that when Paul's doors were closed in his mission, he had a greater fruit in Europe, where God opened the door after closing the other one.
Mm, mm.
So we can say that closed doors are not always signs that God is against us.
Mm-hmm.
They are signs that he is actually guiding us.
Yeah.
His silence or redirection is often mercy, not rejection. Mm. So when your doors close, don't assume that God is against you. Instead, see his hand guiding you toward something greater by faith. Because his no is often a higher yes, waiting in the right time.
Yeah. Now, you know, sometimes we during the silence, quite a defining silence, anxiety rises.
Yes.
How do we then use a scripture to quiet our minds?
Use of scripture to quiet our minds. You see, when silence is heavy, anxiety often whispers falsehoods, lies. Anxiety says, God has forgotten you. But it's now scripture that answers to those lies with the truth.
Yeah.
Because it's only in scripture where we find a genuine truth. So, by speaking God's word aloud, meditating on it, or praying it back to him, we replace fear with faith. Scripture sort of replaces our fear with peace. You remember Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. And the peace of God will guard your hearts. This verse reminds us that prayer and thanksgiving brings supernatural calm to our fears and worries. Scripture reminds us of God's nearness. In Psalm 41, verse 1, 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Even when silent, he is still present. His silence is his availability, actually. Scripture reinforces our thoughts, refocuses our thoughts. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Meditating on God's word, on his promises, steadies our minds, making them stronger in him. Scripture renews hope in waiting. As you remember in Lamentation chapter 3, verses 22-23, his messages are new every morning. Silence does not mean that mercy has ended. It means renewal of mercy is coming. So we can say, when anxiety rises in the silence, open your Bible. Open your Bible. Let God's word speak louder to you than your fears. Scripture is the voice of God that quietens the restlessness of our hearts. Let's trust him. Yes.
Beautiful stuff. Now, how can we maintain hope, you know, when we feel we've just waited for too long?
We wait too long for hope. You see, hope is not based on how short or how long the delay feels. Hope is anchored in God's promises. Even when waiting stretches beyond what we imagined, Scripture shows us that hope can remain alive. You see, if you check the role of faith in Hebrews 11, you see people that had faith despite what they encountered. You remember that chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith. They met a lot of things, very difficult things. And some would wait for salvation, but they found that for rescue, but they found themselves being persecuted and so on. So, but they still kept their hope. So hope anchors us in God's word. Circumstances may change, but God's promises do not change. You remember Romans 15, verse 4 says, through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So we can only have hope as we anchor our hope in the word of God. Hope remembers God's past faithfulness. You know, God has done things in the past. So you can also remember that since God did this in the past, we can trust that he will do the same in the future or in the present. David often recalled how God delivered his people. And remembering past victories strengthens us when the present feels endless. Hope looks beyond the present. Abraham waited decades for Isaac to be born, yet the hope he hoped against hope, according to Romans 4, verse 18. So hope sees beyond delay to God's bigger plan. Hope is renewed daily. Even if yesterday felt too long, today brings fresh mercy. So each day brings its own issues. You remember Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus says each day has its own enough problems for that day. So that the next day can be a different day all the time. Because God, the one who controls what is going on in our lives, is with us. You see, hope is strengthened in community. Sharing testimonies during worship with others keeps our hope alive when personal strength has become drained. I remind you of the Bible saying in Psalm 27, verse 14, wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord. It's a matter of waiting for the Lord. It depends on who, what you are waiting for. Are you waiting for something, or you are waiting for someone? It's better to wait. It's better to wait for God rather than just wait for something.
Yeah.
Hope is not measured by how long we wait, but by who we are waiting for. Even when it feels too long, God's promises remain sure.
Yeah.
His message remains new.
Yeah.
And his timing remains perfect.
Indeed. Mm. Yeah. Now, as we conclude, Pastor, before I let you go, how does delay protect us from something we are not ready for?
Very important question. You see, what feels like delay is often God's mercy. He knows the weight of blessings. He knows the weight of responsibilities. He knows the weight of opportunities. And sometimes we are not yet prepared to carry them. His weight is not punishment. It is shielding us until we are strong enough for what is coming. So, his delay protects us from premature burdens. If blessings come too soon, they may crush us rather than uplift us. You know, there are people who have come too quickly rich and they lose their families because of their money, because of their popularity and whatsoever. They lose their children and their wives and their husbands just because of what the blessings that came too soon. You know, God wants to protect us from wrong motives.
Yeah.
Because waiting exposes whether we seek God himself or we are just looking for his gifts. So delay purifies our desires. You see, there is looking for God and there is looking for what God gives. There are two different motives there. So when he sees that this person has a selfish motive for the blessings, he will rather help you purify your motive before you get that blessing. So he also wants to protect us from hidden dangers. Closed doors may guard us from unseen harm, like Israel delayed in the wilderness. God sometimes keeps us from battles we are not ready to fight. I wanted to tell you something that happened to me in 1997.
Okay, all right.
I was a leadership evangelist in South Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
In around Pretoria. I think it was around Nelspruit, that side. So I was very successful. I found a big market for the books of God's message. And I was going to be making 10,000 runs each day. Each day. And I was going to be meeting a lot of schools, a lot of students, a lot of families, a lot of teachers. And so I saw God moving to give me a big market. But then suddenly that market closed.
Oh, man.
Do you know why?
Mm-hmm.
I had big plans, selfish motives.
Oh.
I wanted to go to Andrews University, learn there, come out, become something. I think I was too wild with my goals. But also, do you know what? An enemy was planning to kill me right there Did I know that somebody wanted to kill me? I didn't know. I just wanted to be successful, but somebody was already behind my back to destroy me, because I became quickly successful. I had a vehicle. I was driving a car around those schools. So I'm trying to say to you, when God closes a door, He might be trying to save you from unseen harm, and also to keep you from battles that you are not ready to fight, even spiritual battles, spiritual battles. Yeah. So he prepares you like he prepared David and Joseph for their roles in leadership, worship, and dependence on God.
Beautiful stuff. Now, Pastor, I must say thank you. You know, we can talk until cows come home about this subject. But hey, we've got to just end it at some point. So tomorrow, we're going to be connecting with you one more time on this subject. I must thank you so much, though, for coming through this afternoon. Blessings to you. Till we speak again tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.